going to commence our youth rally this evening with the hymn 432. 432. You'll find it on page 351. We welcome each one this evening to our youth rally. We want to thank you for coming. And we do pray that the Lord will bless us as we're here in his house this evening. 432. Down in the valley with my Saviour I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. 432. We'll stand after the introduction. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence and seek the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing this evening as we come into his house. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We do come into thy most holy presence and through the precious and the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the goodness and for the mercy of God even afforded to us another day. And Lord, we rejoice in the opportunity of being together even this evening for this youth rally. We thank thee, Lord, for being able to be brought back on again. And Lord, we thank thee for each youth fellowship and for each young person that is here tonight. Lord, we thank thee for watching over us and for bringing us here in safety. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless our time in thy house together. We pray that every aspect of this meeting will be owned and blessed by Almighty God. We bow before thee and we thank thee, O God, that we have the good news, we have the gospel message to proclaim. And Lord, we thank thee that we, as the children of God, then not only are we saved, but we have, O God, that opportunity and that obligation even to serve thee and to go forward with thee. And Father, we do pray for thy servant as he will come and minister in thy word. Lord, it will be that blessing, it will be that challenge, even unto the young people that are gathered here tonight. We pray that thou wilt speak to each one. We pray, O God, even in these moments for preparation of heart. O God, that thou wilt prepare each young person to receive thy word, and that they will know the speaking voice of the Lord even to their hearts. Lord, remember our brother Stephen as well as he will come to sing. Lord, we thank thee for him, and we pray that thou wilt bless him and undertake for him and also for his wife Sarah as they minister to us. And Lord, we do pray as well for our youth council rep, for Richard, Lord, as he brings the report. Lord, we thank thee for the work of the youth council. We thank Thee for that desire, even to see young people in our congregation serving the Lord and being active for the Lord in this day and in this generation. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless every aspect. Oh God, we pray Thee that Thou wilt undertake, and Lord, that Thou wilt fill us with the Holy Ghost tonight. Fill especially Thy servant. And Lord, give us a blessed time in Thy house around the things of God. Lord, be near to us and bless us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to announce just the next two parts of the meeting now. And firstly, we're delighted to have our former youth leader here in Six Mile Cross, our brother Stephen Anderson. He got married just last December and moved away. But we're delighted he's back tonight to sing to us. And he's going to now come and minister two pieces in song. And then immediately afterwards, our brother Richard Edwards, who's a youth council rep for the West, and he's from our Enniskillen congregation. We're going to set him a challenge tonight. I was watching in Clocker Valley last week as our brother gave a report there. And I thought to myself, well, everything he said there, he's going to come and say in Six Mile Cross. So the challenge is to say something new and fresh to us if there's been any change. But we're delighted he's here. And of course, it's always good to hear of what the Youth Council is doing and to hear how you can get involved in that. And so we're going to ask Stephen to come first, and then immediately afterwards, our brother Richard. Thank you.
King of kings, Majesty, God of heaven living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at your throne, your majesty I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Earth and heaven worship you, love eternal, faithful and true, who bought the nations, ransomed souls, brought this sinner near to your throne. All within me cries out in praise, your majesty I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Your majesty I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty.
Thank you very much, Mr. Armand, for the opportunity to come and to bring an announcement or two or a bit of a report on the Youth Council. I apologise if it is something similar to what you heard last week in Clocker Valley, but we'll try. There's only so much you can do with a set of announcements, but we'll see what we can go through. Obviously, just when we're bringing a bit of a report as well with it, to lay before you the missionary project, as we often do when we go through the announcements, but you'll remember the little booklets we've been producing. These ones have already gone out, but the other ones have been finished. So there's an update from Clocker Valley. They were being finished. They have now been finished. The final one, or the second one in the series, and the final one is on its way as well. So you'll soon see the one, I believe, about alcohol. That will be printed and distributed through our congregation shortly. So do remember Chris as he finishes up the very final one. And pray as well as they go to the printers and go through the formatting, whatever has to be done, that would all be finished up. And of course, with that, I suppose our project will shortly be coming to an end with Chris, but pray on for the work that he does and continues to do amongst the addicts and as a home missionary. Then I suppose just as a youth council on the whole, there's a couple of things that have gone by so far this year already, and I'll just bring a quick report and a reminder of what has happened. So far they've gone out over to Gardenstown. A group went out over to Gardenstown on an encouragement trip, and you may have heard reports of that, but they had a great time over in Gardenstown, and the Lord really came and drew near and blessed, and there was even people who had joined the church, who were young in the church, and they were encouraged just to have that group of people come over and to bless them over that weekend. And we hope to plan one again further before the year's up. So if you hear of the announcement that has been planned, do try and sign up and get over if at all possible. It'll be to one of the other churches on the mainland. Then the training weekend happened rather recently there. There was a group of over 40 five young people on the Saturday attended, and there was a few others stayed throughout the whole weekend, and they had a good time of fellowship, and they went and visited the Revival Movement Association as well and seen the Lord's work there. But it's just a small snippet of what's been happening so far with the Youth Council, and there are a number of things here tonight that you can lift on your way out. If you didn't manage to get one last week, there are four different types of bookmarks. They have a little verse on the front of them, and then a reminder, just in case you forgot, after 2 weeks of being reinforced with what's happening, a reminder of upcoming events and various things that are to happen in the year ahead. So do take one or more or as many as you need of those, and pray over the events that are happening. There's prayer cards out there as well to keep you in mind with a few of the things. You'll have heard about the new committee members as well, who've recently joined: Charlotte, Mark, Neil, Esther and Matthew, who are joining different areas. There have been some people have stood down in areas across the country, so there are 10 areas in the Youth Council, and some have stepped down, and these are the new committee members. So pray for them, that the Lord would give them wisdom as they seek to serve in their respective areas. I'd ask you as well to just remember myself in prayer. They've asked if I could take on the role of missionary secretary on the Youth Council, so ask for prayers that you would pray for me as that role would come, and with whatever may come with it. Colin McNeil filled that role for many years, and it would be big footsteps to fill, but pray that the Lord will give help. Just a few very quick announcements to remind you of what's coming up, and then I'll finish up. On the 1st of April, there's the informal Bible study up in Martyrs, and that will be on Wokeness versus Truth. That's at 7:30 p.m. The Reverend David Brown is speaking on that topic. Remember then as well, the Easter Convention on the Friday night, as you know, is the youth night, and it's really solely for the youth this time, and please do try to attend and come along to that. Then Castle Welland's coming up once again, the 28th to the of April to the 1st of May. The application forms are online. Encourage you to get your application forms in early to secure your places on that weekend. And then the summer camp as well at the end of July into the start of August. I think there are forms still online for that. Of course, the three major summer outreaches, well, there's really four this year, but the three areas. There's the home outreach here to our church in Mulvan between the 14th to the 18th of August, and that's for 16+. It's free. The entire week is free. So do try and go along there if you're at all available. Forms are online again to apply for that. Then London outreach between the 21st of August and the 28th of August. That's coming up as well. The application forms are online, and the price has been agreed on that. So here's an update from Clocker Valley. It's £150, and then the recommended flights for you to book on top of that are online, and you can find them and book. So it'll be a good week to go and attend in London and encourage God's people over there also. Remember as well then in prayer the two outreach trips to Africa, Kenya, and to Kenya and Uganda, and they're full, but do remember to pray for them. Pray that the Lord would bless, that he would draw near on those trips, and that the people would be encouraged. And then of course we look on to the summer, and the barbecue has been organised once again for July. It'll be in middle July, so do keep an eye out for that, and we'll keep you posted as the information comes to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Richard. He certainly stepped up to the task, because there was a lot of new information there, and fresh information. We certainly do thank our brother for coming along this evening and for bringing us right up to date with the work of the Youth Council. We're going to sing another hymn together. Take your hymn books, 416. 416. And whilst you're turning, let me just say a word of thanks to Calvin from our Roma congregation for playing for us this evening. We really do appreciate that and that help that he has been to us. 416, we'll sing just four verses, the verse 1 and 2, and then the verses 5 and 6. Let me once again just say a word of welcome to each one. We're very, very glad to have you here tonight in Six Mile Cross. We want to welcome as well two of our ministers, Reverend Mercer and Reverend Wilkerson, and our youth leaders as well from our various congregations. We do extend to each one a very warm word of welcome. We're very thankful you're here. And there's some of our young people from the area as well, and we do welcome them into our congregation this evening. We do welcome as our preacher tonight, Mr. Matthew Eccles. He's currently assisting in our Dungannon congregation, and we're delighted he's here this evening to speak to us. We used to have our youth rally every year in the month of January, and we felt as we brought it back this year that we would move it back a little bit to hope for better weather, of course. But normally in the month of January, our church is always a weeks of prayer, and we were trying to think, well, we'll push it back a bit and hope we get a week that doesn't clash with anyone. Well, we clashed with quite a few tonight. But we're very glad that you're here. We're looking forward to your brother as he's going to come in a moment and speak to us. We give him the topic with next weekend being the change in times, and they talk about always the clocks going forward and spring forward. Then we give him that topic of springing forward or going forward for the Lord and what you can do even as a young person in going forward with the Lord, growing in grace and in knowledge. And we do trust and pray that the Lord will bless him as he comes in just a moment. But can I say as well, there is supper for everyone afterwards. There's hot food for each one. So do stay behind and have that time of fellowship and food together before you go on your way. But just before Mr. Eccles comes to speak, I'm going to have Stephen come and sing again. I had thought maybe just two pieces. And when he came tonight, he says, two or three. And I says, well, if you have three. He goes, well, the third one you see will include his wife. I says, definitely three then. We're going for three. So Stephen and Sarah are going to come sing now, and then immediately afterwards, our brother Mr. Eccles will come and speak.
my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights,
and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you are with me, and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. And I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me.
If you have a copy of God's Word with you this evening, could you turn with me to John's Gospel and the chapter 21? John's Gospel and the chapter 21. I'd just like to say it is a pleasure to be here this evening and to open up the Word of God and to preach to you. I'd like to thank the Reverend Ormerod for the invitation to come along and to speak. And we trust the Lord will encourage you through His Word tonight, that he would challenge you, even in the days to come, to go on with him. So John chapter 21, we want to read verses 1 to verse 7, and then we'll skip down to verse 15 of this chapter. And there we read in the Word of God, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And we'll go right down to verse number 15. And here we see the concluding parts of this chapter. And it says there, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, what is he that betrayeth thee? Or which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus saith unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testified of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the word itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. And amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his own precious word to all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let us bow together in prayer, and we all ask the Lord now to speak to us and to bless us as we do consider his word. Our Father, and our God in heaven, we thank thee already for the blessing that it has been to be in this meeting. We thank thee for the praise that has ascended up unto thee. And Lord, we know that this will be acceptable in Jesus' name. We know that it will go forth as a sweet incense before thee. And Lord, we do rejoice for all of the opportunities that our young people have to go forward with the gospel and to serve thee. And Lord, I pray that thou would even challenge them tonight through the word that is spoken, to give of their lives unto thee, to give of their lives unto thy service, that they might glorify God, and that they might uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray for thy Spirit now to be in the midst of us. I pray that he would make the word effectual, that he would make it powerful, that he would help us to apply it into our own circumstances, that we might follow after God, and that we might do great things for thee. So, Lord, draw near, we pray of thee. Grant liberty. Grant understanding. We know that thy servant of old did say, Give me understanding. And, Lord, give us understanding tonight. Make this book alive to us. Illuminate it to our hearts. O God, that we might walk in thy perfect and in thy good will. So draw near now. Undertake for us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wonder if any of the young folk here tonight have ever heard of the slam dunk contest. This is an event that happens at the halftime show of a basketball game in the NBA. One writer has described it as the best halftime invention since the bathroom. Essentially, the whole point of it is that the basketball player will do a fancy leap in the air. He'll maybe do a few tricks as he does it, and he'll slam dunk that ball into the net. And whoever receives the highest score at the end will be the winner as the judges give them their score. Now, I took a wee bit of time to watch it even this week on the internet, and really, if I'm being honest, I would have stuck to the idea of the bathroom. I think that would be a lot better. But, you know, one of the most notable times that someone won the slam dunk contest was in 1986. It was won by a man of the name of Spud Webb. Now, you can tell a wee bit by his first name, that this was obviously going to be a challenge for him. This was a man who was only 5'7" tall, and he was tasked with putting the ball into a net that was 10 feet above him. And so they were saying, well, wee Spud has no chance as he tries to win this slam dunk contest. And to make it even greater for him, he was against someone called Dominique Wilkins. He was 6'8" tall, and this man had won this competition many times, and others had looked at wee Spud and they had said, well, he's never really done this in a game. We've never seen him do it in practice. He has no chance whatsoever. So a victory was very unlikely. And yet in the end, in the final round, he had two perfect scores of 50, and he shocked everyone when he went on to win. And so Spud was really an inspiration to so many. He was an inspiration of someone that can do things that are unlikely in the most unlikely of circumstances. He was an inspiration to those not to give up and an inspiration to those who would seek to have success. So his story was used in a very mighty way. Now I think this is a wonderful illustration of how God works. God can use the most unlikely individuals to fulfill his purposes and to do his will in this world. You think of one great and notable example, the Apostle Paul. This was a man who walked hundreds and hundreds of miles to preach the gospel, to go and plant churches, to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. He labored long and hard for the Lord. He wrote most of the New Testament. And yet we read of him in his former life. A man who hated the church, a man who persecuted it. He was bloodthirsty as he sought after Christians, and yet this was a man the Lord could use. We read something else of him in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And he says these words, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And so I would say this was a physical ailment that Paul had. And this physical ailment no doubt would have hindered him. It would have hindered him in his traveling. It perhaps hindered him in his preaching. And yet, God was able to use him. 1 Corinthians 2 and 1. He says these words, "And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." So Paul came unto a church, or he came unto a place like Corinth, and they put much on excellency of speech, and those who could speak in eloquent words and use flowery language and all of these things. And yet Paul comes in simplicity. A simple man with simple words, no doubt this would not have been attractive to them, and yet God used him. A most unlikely individual to plant a church. So God can use unlikely instruments. God can use you for the extension of his kingdom. Maybe you sit here tonight and you feel that so very well, you would say, I fit into that category perfectly. You say, tonight I could give you so many reasons why God could not use me. I could give you so many reasons why I can't spring forth and do great things for God this year. You have all of these reasons, and yet this word comes again to you, yet God. Yet God can use you. An individual to do mighty things for his kingdom. And here is the most important question then, as you would seek to go forth with God, as you would seek to be used by him, are you usable? Can the Lord use you? Are you coming here tonight and you're saying in your heart, I will set myself forth and I will give myself to the Lord and I will make myself available for him to use me in his service and to do great things for him. You see, when we come to John chapter 21, we find here men that were mightily used by God, but as we go through the chapter, the focus comes to Peter. Peter, a man we know, would be used to do great things. And yet when we come to this chapter, this is not a man who's ready to go forward with the gospel. This is not a man who is fit to do anything at this point in time. He was no good for the Lord. And yet when we come to the end of the chapter, there is great encouragement. Because Peter is right back on track. ready to go forward, ready to herald forth the gospel, ready to see souls saved, ready to do great things for God. And therefore, when we come here, we find here a man that is brought back to the Lord, a man that is set forth to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at John chapter 21 tonight very quickly, we ask this question, and I want you to keep that in mind. Can we be used by God? Can we be used by God? First thing I want you to see here is the place we need to be. The place we need to be. We are given an indication, both spiritually and physically, where Peter was at this time when the Lord met him. We see in verse 2 what it says is John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. Now I would suggest the Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. And Christ and his apostles here would have been very familiar with this place. And certainly they would have been very familiar with the fishing industry that attended it. And but we ask the question, well, why were they there? And more specifically, why was Peter there? Well, we get our answer in Matthew 28, verse 10. It says in this chapter of the Lord Jesus Christ that he gave them a command to be there. You see, the two Marys had met the resurrected Christ here. And we see these words in verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. And so they're told here, these men, they will meet the Lord Jesus Christ at the Sea of Galilee. They will meet him there if they but just gather. Now, this was not the first time they had seen the resurrected Christ, or they would be in his presence. But the Lord here comes in his gospel, and he's tying up the loose ends. No doubt if we read about the life of Peter, we're asking ourselves, what would become of Peter? What would Peter do? Would Peter get to a place again where he could be used by the Lord? And John chapter 21 gives us this answer. They come to Galilee. And you see, I want to make this point to you tonight in the meeting. Peter was outwardly in the right place. He had obeyed the Lord. He had done what the Lord had asked of him to come to the Sea of Galilee. All on the outward was okay. He was doing exactly what Christ said, and yet outwardly he was fine. Inwardly there was the shadow of failure and of sin hanging over him. Why was this? Because he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Read in Luke 22, verses 59 to 62, these words. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And so Peter here is following the Lord as he is being judged and as he is being brought to trial and eventually crucified. And the people begin to notice him and say, this is one of the followers of Christ. This is a Galilean. This is one of those who are his disciples. And we read on and it says, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spoke, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter here is being presented to us in all of his failure, and denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can imagine very well, as the Lord looked at him eye to eye, the shame, the regret that he felt in his heart. He had let the Lord down. He went out and he wept bitterly. And so he comes to Galilee. The shadow is hanging over him. He knows, I failed the Lord. I have not done what I was supposed to do. He had denied the Lord 3 times. Therefore, he was in the midst of bitter experience. Maybe there's a young person here tonight. You're in the meeting. You're in the right place as far as that is concerned. You're here, you're sitting, you're listening. You're being attentive. You've sang the hymns. You'll go to the Lord's house on the Sabbath day. You'll sit in the morning service. You'll sit in the evening service. All is fine. You're in the right places. You're doing the right things. And yet over you hangs the shadow of failure and of sin and of regret. You're not in the place that you're meant to be because you're not in the right place with the Lord. And as this shadow hangs over you, as you contemplate it, you're discouraged and you say, I can do nothing for God. I'm a failure. I've let the Lord down. And in light of all this, I say to you, if you say in your heart, I can't get this dealt with, well, it's time to get it dealt with. Because as long as you stand in a situation where you're far away from the Lord, you're in the place of bitter regret, you will never be useful for the Lord. You will never go forth. You will never be used by Him for the sake of His kingdom. And up until this point in time, as you have left this issue undealt with, you've wasted your time. You've wasted precious hours that you could have used for the Lord. And if you will not get it sorted in the meeting tonight, you will continue to waste precious hours for the Lord. And I promise you, you will regret that. That you didn't take these moments in your life to serve Christ. And I exhort you then, get to a place tonight, a place where you're close to the Lord again. A place where you're in fellowship with Him. A place where it's not just all outward. A place where you come back and say, Lord, I want you to use me. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my failures. Forgive me for all of these things that I've done against thee. Forgive me, and then this night begin to use me again for thy kingdom. C.T. Studd has said these words. These are extended words of that famous quote of his. He says, only one life. Yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, the Lord, my Lord, to meet and stand before His judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. The hours are fleeting by. Yous are young and you have plenty of hours, Lord willing, before you. But one day you'll meet the Lord. And you want to meet Him and say, Lord, I gave you everything. I was not perfect, but Lord, I made myself available for you to use me. I want you to see another thing here in these verses. I want you to see the presence we need to come. The Lord soon makes an appearance beside the Sea of Galilee. It was His presence that would make the difference for Peter. Of course, left alone here, Peter would have remained in this place of despair and regret and failure. Yet it was His presence what was going to set him right, was going to bring him back to the cause of Christ, where he again could be used for the Lord. And we see here the command that is given in this presence. You see, the men have been waiting a long time for the Lord. They said to themselves, well, we'll go out and we'll do what we know what to do. We'll go out and we'll fish. And so they went out onto the sea, and they went out and they caught nothing. We read that in verse 3. It says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. What happens in verse 6? The Lord comes. And His presence makes the difference. It says, and He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Surely this would have reminded Peter of another event that happened in his life in Luke chapter 5. Peter had been fishing at that point in his life. He had been out on the seaside, he had been out on the boat, and yet that night, despite all of his labors, he again had caught nothing until the Lord came. And Luke 5:10 says this, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, and Simon here is just Peter. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. What is the context here? The Lord commissions Peter. He says, you're going to catch men. But the Lord had met him earlier on in that chapter. And He had told him to do the exact same thing that He told him to do in John chapter 21. And they caught a multitude of fishes. They were very successful because the Lord came. And the Lord is saying to them, just as you've caught these multitude of fishes, so from now on in your life you'll put forth the gospel net and you'll catch men. This would have taken Peter back, no doubt about it, to what the Lord had done in his life. How the Lord had thrust him forth at that time And of course, Peter did fulfill those words in a powerful way. If we go to the next chapters in the book of Acts, how Peter preached a sermon where thousands came under conviction, came to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what happened there was Peter was being shown the fact that when the Lord comes and when the Lord intervenes, there's so much potential through what one man can do. I look at the meeting tonight and I see a multitude of young people. There's so much potential. So much potential for what you can do for the Lord. You have the time. You have the years. So the Lord can do great things through you if you would come into your life and if he would presence himself with you. You need to learn that lesson. If you're going to go forward for God, thrust forth into his service, if you're going to be used by him, you need him with you every step of the way. It's reading a story about the life of Dr. Paisley over the last few weeks. And he speaks about the fact that in 1949, he realized he needed the Lord's presence and the Lord's anointing for his ministry. And so he decided to meet a few friends to get to prayer and to seeking the Lord. One of the men there was Dr. John Douglas. The Reverend Paisley says these words, "So at 10 o'clock, the four of us met. We didn't know what we were meeting for. We didn't know how strange that meeting would be. We didn't know how many tears we were going to shed. We didn't know how rich the blessing of God would be. But we prayed. We went on praying. We started on a Friday night. Saturday passed. We dare not leave the house of God, for God was speaking to our inmost soul. And we went on. And then suddenly the heavens opened, and God did something in our souls. God did something in our souls that made us different." He says, "A move of God commenced." In Wundangallam, we had the Reverend Douglas at our meetings for a week, and I got to speak to him one night and got to chat to him. And he spoke to me about that night the Lord moved in Dr. Paisley's heart, and he said he was a different man from that night on. The ministry changed, and the blessing came. What was the difference? It was the presence and the power of God being brought forth. This is what happens in John chapter 21. Christ comes to the seaside and he causes this power to be made known. You say to me tonight, I want to do something for the Lord. We'll obey his command and his word to go forward with him, to preach the gospel, to be a witness, and he will presence himself with you, and the power of God can be used even in your life, your young life, to do great things for him. So do not limit yourself. Walk with the Lord. Obey his commands. And let him use you for his honor and for his glory as he would with Peter. Notice here the motivation in this presence. Peter was confronted with a most serious question in verse 15. He says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." We know very well the Lord posed this question three times. He kept coming to Simon Peter, and he kept saying to him, "Lovest thou me?" And it confronts Peter. No doubt about it, it confronts him. And yet the Lord is giving him the motivation that he would need to go out and to be useful and to be thrust forth and to go on in his service. And he comes to you tonight as young folk, and he says these same words. As his person comes before you, as his great love for you is made clear, Christ loves you, he died for you, he comes to you and he says, "Lovest thou me?" What a personal question that is. And it comes to you, and what would you answer? What is your answer? So the Lord says, "Lovest thou me?" Are you able to say, "Lord, I love thee. Because I love thee, I will serve thee." This was the motivation that Peter would need. And the Lord was not coming to him and saying, "Peter, do you love me as one among many?" He was saying, "Do you love me above all else, above everything?" And that's a place you must get to. That you love Christ above anything else. that he is the source of supreme love in your soul, that nothing else takes his place, that he is high above all, and you say, Lord, I love thee, and I will do anything for thee, and I will serve thee. Use me in whatever way you see fit for your kingdom and for your glory. Peter's love would go to the extent that he would even lose his life for the Lord. And these are solemn words in verse 18 to 19. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he has spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Do you see the challenge there? The Lord says to Peter, Peter, you've told me you love me, but I'm going to tell you this, you'll love me unto death. And he says those two words at the end, follow me. You see, love will follow Christ to the very end. And will serve Christ to the very end. And will make itself available to him and say, Lord, I will go forth. What would you have me to do? So again, that question comes, lovest thou me? Do you love me? You say, I love the Lord, will serve the Lord and live your life for him. One more thing I want you to see here. I want you to see the placement we will have. The Lord was very specific to Peter and what he wanted him to do. In verse 15, he says, feed my lambs. And in other places of that chapter, he says, feed my sheep. Now, this was going to be the placement of Peter in God's work. He was going to be a feeder of the sheep, a feeder of the lambs. He was going to be in charge of the flock. I want to get right to the point here, and I want to really challenge you in this meeting tonight. Is there a young man here? Someone who is contemplating their life and their service for the Lord? And you say to me, well, I feel the Lord would have me to preach his word. He would have me to herald forth the gospel. He would have me to go into a fuller service such as this. Maybe that's on your heart tonight. That is what the Lord is challenging you about. And yet he comes with these simple words. And I tell you, and I do not have a lot of experience in this, but I tell you this. If you will pursue that, the Lord gives you those three simple words. Feed my lambs. That's your calling. Feed the lambs. Feed the sheep. Feed the flock that the Lord eventually will call you to if you feel led to go down that path. Let me tell you, this is the highest calling you'll ever receive in your life. It's the highest office. You must be motivated by love for the Lord, but you must also see the great challenge that is before you to feed the flock. If the Lord is speaking to you about that tonight, continue to seek him. Continue to pray to him about it. Continue to ask him, Lord, make my pathway straight. Lead me to go down this path, to Bible college, whatever it may be. But remember the commission the Lord has given you. Feed my lambs. Feed the flock. But you know, we see the Apostle John here. He comes near. I think it's fair to say he heard the conversation that was happening. And so it says in verse 20 to 22, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You see, Peter sees John here and he's essentially asking the Lord, well, Lord, what's he to do? What's his role? You've told me to feed the sheep. You've told me to feed the lamb. I'm going to be an under-shepherd over the flock. But what of John? Of course, we know John as well would play the same role as Peter. He would feed the flock. He would feed the lambs. And yet we look here, and the Lord says unto Peter, essentially, that's none of your business. I will have something for him. I will do something in his life. And the calling of God in your life, it might not be to the ministry. It might not be to be a missionary. But I would exhort you to seek after and to get the Lord to reveal his will to you. Lord, what will you call me to? What role will I have in the church? What do you want me to do? What part do I have to play in the service of your kingdom? You seek your replacement. You seek the thing that God would have you to do. There's plenty to do. The Lord needs laborers. So will you seek him? And say, Lord, what is my calling? Maybe it'll just be to be a witness in your workplace. I don't know. But you seek that. One author has said, the Lord has jobs for each of us to do. And what others do is ultimately none of our business. Each of us must do what God has given him or her to do and fulfill the mandate of Christ. So I say to you, you worry about your life. You say, Lord, what will you have me to do? Me. And you fulfill the mandate of Christ. You be used by him to do much for his glory and much for his honor. So I ask you then tonight, as the Lord comes, as he challenges you, are you ready to be set forth? Are you ready to go forth? Are you ready to walk with God? Are you ready to do service for Christ your King? Peter would do it. The rest of these men would do it. Will you do it? Will you serve the Lord? Ask that question again. Can you be used by God? Pray that will be the case in the days to come. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Ask Reverend Ormrod now to come and to close the meeting. Thank you.
God will bless and we'll use that word indeed to challenge us to go forward for him, to do something more for him even in 2023. That we won't just sit back and take our ease, but rather that we will be up, we will be busy in the work of the Lord in this year. 418, and we'll sing the hymn together, please. Heavenly Father, we do bow before thee and we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence and for thy word even to our hearts this evening. We thank thee for this time together, and Lord, especially our time around thy word, and we pray that thou wilt speak on through thy word. We pray, O God, that thou wilt challenge even the young people that are before us tonight, that they will seek to be in higher ground, that they will seek to press forward, to do something more for God, even in this year, to surrender their lives, to lay all of their lives upon the altar for Christ. O Father, we pray for thy work. We pray for the cause of the gospel, that thou wilt bless it in this year, that thou wilt bless it throughout all of our congregations, that thou wilt raise up a young man and young woman to go forward for thee, to become the next ministers, the next missionaries, the next Sunday school teachers, the next children's workers, the next witnesses even in their workplace. O Father, we ask thee that thou wilt bless and that thou wilt do a new thing even within our land, that thou wilt see fit even to use us in the days that lie ahead. Lord, bless us now, we pray thee. We thank thee for the food that's been prepared. We pray you'll bless it to our bodies. And we pray that thou wilt bless our time of fellowship one with the other. And then take each to their homes in safety. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, there is supper for everyone.